Welcome to Cherished Women with Kimberly Walton, with a look into issues facing today's Christian women. Let's be honest, with all the things coming at us, it's easy to become inundated with life's messiness. As a wife, mother, founder of Cherished Wives International, and a marriage mentor, Kimberly fully understands how difficult it can be for a woman to balance work, life, home, and love. Today, she'll help you navigate life's challenges so you may thrive in life, love, and marriage. Now, here's Kimberly Walton with a topic on being cherished.
Hello, everybody. So, today's topic was originally going to be all about praying with our mate. Not for our mate, but I have to say, I actually at the last minute changed the topic. And not because I don't believe in praying with your mate and how important that is, because that is a huge topic for me. I think it's really important for relationships to pray with our mates, not just for them. But I have to tell you, the last couple days, this other topic has surfaced repeatedly. I mean, so much so that I got to thinking that, you know what, maybe this was a nudge from God. Maybe somebody out there needs to hear some part of this message. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's somebody you know. So today, I want to talk about parenting. And I just want to say a little disclaimer here. I seem to be under the weather like a lot of people right now. So I've got a little bit of a cranky cough. So as I turn my head and cough a couple times today, just be patient with me and know that I am at least feeling blessed that it is not anything more serious than just a lingering cough. Okay? So if you're in the same boat with me, here's to you. We'll cough together. Okay? So let's talk about parenting for a minute. We have a lot of people setting goals right now, and I love setting goals. I love the idea of setting goals and coming up with plans and all that. But you know, one of the topics that people don't tend to set goals around is parenting. They kind of wing it at times. And I found that if you really set some goals and you're really clear on the idea of parenting and you're consistent, that you are a much more effective parent. And isn't that kind of what we want? We want our kids to grow up and be productive human beings. We want to be effective. So a while back, my husband and I wrote an article about parenting, and we called it the 7 C's of parenting. And I want to share with you today the 7 C's that we subscribe to. Okay? So the 7 C's of parenting. Now, the first C is all about choice. Now, it's important to give kids choices. And when I say choices, what I mean by choices is I mean that people are going to have choices that are age appropriate for the kids. And you don't want to give too many choices. One of the things that overwhelms kids is having too many choices. Not unlike if you go to the store and you're trying to pick toothpaste and there's 42 different brands, and it's easy to get overwhelmed with, should I this, should I that, what about this, what about that one, do I need this, oh my gosh. So with kids, giving them choices is really important, but we want to remember they need to be age appropriate and we don't want to give them too many choices. Okay. So let's start with this. If you have littles in the house, then you know that it's important to get them on track and get them on board with what's going on with the family. So I like to start with little kids and start giving them choices. Now, when you start with little choices, you can build up to more complex ones as they get older and as they take on that responsibility. So if you have littles in the house, you give them choices that are basically an either or. It's, do you want this or do you want that kind of choice? Do you want to put your art on the refrigerator or would you like to put it on the wall? Those kind of choices let kids choose. And that also gives them a sense of being involved in the family and having a sense of feeling like their choice matters. Now, another thing when it comes to choices with these younger little kids is that you can give them a choice of something like, do you want to wear your jacket or do you want to carry your jacket? My kids were good with that. When my kids were very, very little, then I would give them a choice of clothes. Do you want to wear this or do you want to wear this? I didn't give them lots of choices. And sometimes when they started getting a little older, they're like, well, they would say, well, I want to wear this instead, that kind of thing. Now, if you're giving kids choices, again, we really want to remember the age of the children because that will change things. If you have teenagers, you're going to give them different choices. You're not going to ask, do you want to put their art in the fridge or on the wall? What you're going to do is you're asking them things like, do you want to load or unload the dishwasher? Which choice do you want? Do you want to set the table or do you want to clear the table? Those kind of choices can help with teens to be more on board. You know, if you have a teenager that has a habit of maybe getting home late, then your choice would be something like, would you rather get home by curfew or would you rather lose privileges for 2 weeks? In this case, if you're giving them a choice like that, then really what you're doing is you're also setting them up to understand consequences. For teens, it can be really helpful to get them on board with understanding consequences because that is a huge skill that they're going to take into the rest of their life. Learning to make good choices and choices that have a consequence at this point in time in their life will be something that they carry on if they can understand that there are consequences. It helps them in their future. So that's number one. So number one is all about giving them choices. Number two is about being clear. So clarity is the second of the C's. Now, by clarity, we focus on being very clear and concise, especially if we're giving choices and or consequences to our children. And this means that we have to probably, as adults, we're going to need to spend some time ahead of time. We have to do pre-thinking before we give them choices and or consequences. So before you give your kids a choice, I really think it's important to stop, think about it, and think about what are we trying to accomplish. Because if we're not clear on what we're trying to accomplish, then it's going to make it a lot harder for us to be clear. It's a lot harder for us to give consequences, but it's also going to be really difficult for your youngsters to understand what we're trying to do. They pick up on the unclarity, if you will. I don't know if that's even a word. Is it? If not, you know what I mean. So we want to make sure that clarity and being clear is something that we look at. So saying you want a chore done by the time you get home is fine, but you know, for a lot of kids, that's just not going to be clear enough. It's not going to be something that is measurable that they can really take with them. So for clarity, we're looking at saying something like, the dishwasher needs to be emptied by 5 p.m. on weekdays, or you're going to have a loss of privileges, that kind of thing. So you were very clear on the time, you were clear on the task, and you were clear on the consequence. So a chore, a time, and the consequence. That's going to then let kids know what happens if they don't do it, what is exactly expected, and go from there. And true, sometimes things happen. Something happens where maybe kids have practice that runs late. That gives them a chance to also problem solve. Hey, mom and dad, practice doesn't get over till 5. I'm going to get this done at 5:30. Those kind of things. It sets them up for also being problem solvers. If you want kids ready to go for like a family outing at a certain time, you say you need your jacket, your towel, your shoes by the door no later than 2. Those kind of things set kids up for success because it's very, very clear what's expected. The other thing is then it's easier for you if you have to give any sort of consequence to give that consequence because you were very clear on what needs to be done. Now, I'm going to say here in this situation, academics tends to be a little more tricky. My kids were different when it came to academics. One of my sons was really great at coming home and getting his homework done, and then he would have it done and say, now I'm going to go play and go off on my day. My other son, he did not respond to that well. He needed decompression time. He needed to come home, do something else, and then he could tackle homework. So when it comes to homework, I like to say that you need to look at your child, you need to understand your child and where they're going to most thrive. Okay, so I've talked about consequences a couple times now, but I want to take us to this next C, which is all about consequences. So let's talk about consequences. as adults, we know that life is all about choices and consequences. The choice you make today, the choices you've made this morning, the choices you made yesterday have given you an outcome for today, and they'll give you outcomes and consequences for tomorrow. If you are repeatedly late for work, what's going to happen? As an adult, you know you may be docked pay, you may lose your job, you may get a demotion. There's going to be a consequences for the most part. If you drive drunk, not only if you get caught is it going to be expensive, but it could have some sort of life-changing consequences. There could be an accident. There could be all sorts of things that can happen. There are consequences to things. There's a cause and effect to everything. Now, granted, some effects are smaller than others, and some are much greater. And we know that as adults that some things carry a potential cost that's greater than other things. Now, it's our job as parents to help our children learn this. It's our job as parents to help them understand that some things have a much greater effect if they're not handled properly. So, adults, we get to learn this as children, but we also need to have other adults helping our children. We need to have teachers and grandparents and even older siblings helping our youngsters learn this. Okay? So, one of the things you have to do with consequences is you have to learn what your child's currency is. Some children respond to a loss of privileges. Some children respond to a loss of electronics. Some children respond to a loss of some sort of time with friends. So understanding what your child's currency is going to be important. And if you were to stop and just think for a minute, you probably would be able to figure out your child's currency. One of my children responded well to a loss of privileges, especially if it came to music. Now, you got to know that my youngest is 21, my oldest is 26. So when my kids were little, there was the portable CD player and things like that. We didn't have the video games and the cell phones and things that a lot of kids have now. So learning my kids' currency was one of them, my youngest, his currency was all about having to sit and be quiet and not being able to interact. My oldest was, if you took away his music, that was just horrible for him. So understanding your children's currency and using it appropriately is going to be huge for teaching them consequences. So some need a loss of privileges. Some respond well to some sort of firm talking. Some kids, they only learn through experience. Some kids don't do well unless you seriously take away some sort of privilege or something like that. So if you're like me, your kids are probably different. And if you've got more than two kids, then you probably have multiple different ways that this can work. So it's really important to understand our children and understand what their consequences will, or understand what their currency is, so that you can give them the best consequence. So let me say, for example, with consequences, we have hosted exchange students in our family twice now, a few years apart. And it's interestingly enough, both of our exchange students, when they were at the house, they both broke things. Now, what happens is that in this scenario, I had to give consequences because in both cases, it wasn't like, oh, an accident, somebody tripped and they broke something. It was playing ball in the house. One was a soccer ball and one was a football. So here's what we did. The first exchange student and my son, my youngest son, were playing with a soccer ball in the house. They kicked it in the house. They broke the blinds. So my consequence to them was, you guys get to walk up to Target, which was like half a mile away. You get to walk up to Target. You get to buy new ones. You get to come back and you get to install them. And they were like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Now, if this had been the first time they had done this and been told not to do this, then it would have been a different conversation. And I helped them. I gave them a little piece that had broken off of the blinds. I said, take this up there because you're going to have different choices. You're going to have white and you're going to have alabaster. You're going to get there and you're not going to know what to do. And I encouraged them. I said, before you guys go up, is there anything you want to think about before you get there so that you know when you get there you can solve this? Are you taking money? Because I wasn't paying for it. Are you this? Are you that? They got up there and I knew they had not measured the blinds. So they got up there and they said, oh my gosh, they called and said, we don't know what size to get. And I said, well, you can either walk back home and measure them, or I can give you the size. And I let them choose. And the youngest is like, okay, can you just tell us the size? Now, I knew that they didn't know the size when they left. But what I did is I wanted to teach them to think ahead. So we gave them the size. They came back and they installed them. And you know what? They didn't play ball in the house after that. The other exchange student, though, he was throwing a football with my son in the house. Again, I had told them multiple times. In this case, they broke a lamp. So I said, go online, find a lamp that's similar to that, find the cost. I'll take you to the store. You guys get to buy it, bring it back, and go from there. And we did. Now, I think sometimes parents will think, oh, that's too harsh. But you know what? It's one of those things where there is a cause and there's a effect. Parents say don't do certain things because we've been there. We know. We've broken the lamp. We've broken the blinds. We've done these things, and we're trying to impart wisdom. So in my examples with my exchange students, again, they had both done these things, and they had been told not to do them. And it wasn't just my kids were involved, too. It wasn't just exchange students. So the kids did it, and they all got to fix the problem. So hopefully those are lessons that the exchange students took home with them. Our exchange students were from Norway and Thailand. So hopefully they took those lessons home with them so that they are still not throwing and kicking and things in the house. So when it comes to understanding these consequences, one of the other things I think that's really important is being consistent. And I have to tell you that consistency, I think, is one of the hardest things for parents. And it's hard because as adults, we get busy, we get frustrated, we get caught off guard. All of these things, our brains are somewhere else. There's all of this stuff going on. And so when these things come out of nowhere, it's especially difficult to be consistent. We're like, oh yeah, it's okay this time. And we want our kids to be happy. We don't want to see our kids hurt. We don't want to see them upset. We don't want to see them disappointed. So sometimes we give in when we shouldn't. Now, when we are inconsistent, one of the problems we have with inconsistency is that it sets kids up for not knowing where the boundaries are at. It sets your kids up for pushing the limits because we're like, wait, is this a boundary now or is it not a boundary? Is it a limit here? Where's the line? It teaches them to be inconsistent. So I think that being consistent is probably one of the areas that's the hardest, but at the same time, it can be the easiest. So the other thing I want to mention, because I've got I got two important things with this, besides being kids wanting to push the boundaries if they don't know, is that we really need to not promise any sort of consequence if you're not going to deliver. So everybody knows somebody, maybe it's you, who says when kids act up, they'll say, oh my gosh, you're grounded for 6 months. Now, you and I and the kids and everybody else in the world knows that kid is not going to be grounded for 6 months, not probably even for 6 weeks, and probably not even for 6 days, maybe for 6 hours, but not for 6 months. So we need to be really careful about consequences that we're not going to deliver on. And these consequences that we're going to deliver on, they need to be something that's 100% appropriate for whatever the issue was. Okay, children went out and played. Instead of doing their homework, the next 2 days, they're not allowed to go out and play. Those kind of things. It needs to fit the crime, if you will. Okay, so consistency. That's going to be one of the hardest, but also it can be one of the easiest if you get in the habit of doing it. Now, consistency also means that parents need to be on the same page. And I find this over and over and over again is one of the biggest problems that parents have is being on the same page. One parent's more lenient, one parent is more inconsistent, those kind of things. And getting on the same page and not undermining each other is really best for the children. So recently I was reading something in a Facebook group that I belong to with some Christian moms. And this woman was asking for advice. And her question was that her son was not eating at dinner time. And she wasn't, you know, picking like Brussels sprouts or anything. She was trying to make things that he liked. He refused to eat at dinner time. And so she said, if you don't eat dinner, then you'll go to bed hungry. Now, whether you agree with that or not, some people say it's a horrible thing to do that. Some people don't. But what she found was happening is right before bedtime that her son would say, oh, I'm really hungry. And the dad would then let him get up out of bed and would feed him dinner. Not the dinner that everybody else had had, but would make him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so one of the problems that she has is that the dad is undermining. And by the undermining, they're not able to really get at the problem. Why is he not eating dinner with the family? What's going on? Does he need more dad time? So I was trying to delve into this a little bit. Maybe the child is not eating dinner, not because of the food, but maybe he's trying to just have time with dad. But what's happening now is the dad is undermining the mom. And because she's a stay-at-home mom, it's undermining a lot of things in their relationship with the child. So being on the same page is really important. My fifth C is to be calm, and let's just call it a bonus for here, calm and collected. Children listen and they understand when adults are calm. Seriously, have you ever tried to whisper when your kids are around? And you know what? They totally tune their ears to you. Like, wait, what are you saying? But if somebody's yelling, they totally don't pay attention. Okay? So when we have people calm, the children listen better. And what happens is when parents get all riled up, you know what happens to kids? They know they've won. The adults are emotional, they're all off center, and the kids get their way. They know if they can get you riled up that you are basically off center. So don't ever give consequences when you're emotional. What I do with when my kids were little, what I would do is I'd say, well, you know that choice is going to have consequences, and here's what's going to happen. I need an hour to think about what the best appropriate consequence is, and I will get back to you, and I would say the time at 2 o'clock or 2:30. And sometimes they're like, no, I need to know now. What's going on? I want to go. I want this. I want that. And I would say, if you keep asking, it's going to take another half an hour for me to decide. So my kids real quickly learned that they needed to listen to that. When I said, you didn't get an answer for 2 hours or whatever, they would go from there. Number six for my seven C's of parenting is to be concise. When communicating with our children, it's really important to be concise. And by that, I also mean age appropriate. A 10-minute talk with a 2-year-old is not effective, but a 10-minute talk with a 15-year-old might be perfect, depending on your 15-year-old. Kids tune us out if we talk too much, and then that's totally ineffective. When my kids were younger and they'd ask questions, I would ask them back, do you want a short answer or a long answer? And I'd let them decide, because sometimes this question requires more of a longer answer. Or sometimes I would tell them, this is a long answer, do you want this answer now? And we would go from there. So being concise, it relates also to number two. If we're concise, we're also focusing on being clear. If we're not concise, then oftentimes it's because we are not clear on what we're trying to accomplish. Now, the seventh C to parenting is connection. And connection to me is probably one of the most important, because nowadays we have so many things coming at our kids. They have so many temptations. They have distractions. They have a whole bunch of misinformation in the world. And society in some ways is encouraging our kids to turn away from parents. If you want information, you don't go to your parents anymore. You go to your friends or you go to Google, those kind of things. So connection is really important. Connection at the dinner table, time off for the phones, things like that. This requires time. It requires effort. It requires paying attention and maybe even some sacrifice on our parts. But maybe not so much of a sacrifice if we're really looking at this connection is about an investment. It's not about a sacrifice. So one of the things I want to say here is strong family bonds, they really help children resist all those temptations. They help them to feel significant. They help them to make good choices. They help them to grow up and be productive and functioning adults, which is really, really what we want, right? So let me just take a quick minute and recap my seven C's. We've got choice. We've got to give our kids choices. We've got being calm and collected when we're talking to our children. We've got consistency. We've got connection. We've got concise. We've got consequences. And when we're looking at this, we also have clarity. So keep those seven C's in mind, and happy parenting, my friend, as you go through the day. Go ahead and be a great parent.
Thank you for listening to Cherished Women, where Kimberly Walton tackles issues facing today's Christian women. If you'd like to connect with Kimberly, or you're interested in in-love approach or mentoring, visit CherishedWives.com. You'll find insightful blogs and videos, inspirational classes, and an invite to sign up for a free monthly newsletter. While there, look for the link to the Cherished Wives Facebook page to join their community of sharing insights and wisdom for Cherished Women. If you have a topic on your heart that you'd like to suggest for a show, reach out and let them know at their Let's Connect page at CherishedWives.com. Until next time, remember the wisdom of Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. CherishedWives.com.